As we come to look at the book of Mark, the very first time this year, and in a long time for some of us, let's pray. And you've got a sermon outline that'll come in handy. There it is. Looks like that. Or you can read off mine if you've got good eyesight. I can just hold it here. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time together, that we can come together around your Son and what he's done for us through his death and resurrection. Father, we pray as we begin looking at the book of Mark that you would challenge us over these next coming months. You would challenge us with the word that perhaps we've heard many times. Help us to hear it afresh. Help your Holy Spirit to work in our lives that we may just know you more. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, we can. I love that slogan. I love that political rant. I love this quote. Thanks, James. Yes, we can to justice and equality. Yes, we can to opportunity and prosperity. I can't quite say it right. It doesn't sound as impressive. But yes, we can heal this nation. Yes, we can repair this world. Yes, we can, from the New Hampshire Democratic primary in 2008. That is the message Obama delivered to Americans, I think for one reason, to give a nation like that hope. A hope when they had a failing health system, a hope when they had war in Iraq like they never thought they would, not that bad anyway, where they had such a great level of unemployment, such a weakening economy, such a devastating environment, and the impact they were having. Yes, we can was a message delivered to a nation that needed hope. But Obama was not the only person that has that slogan, that had that slogan. Of course, there was another. I'm sure you know who it was. Bob, the builder. He knew it. Kids need a message of hope too, don't they? But I suggest to you, you think of those two characters today, one real person and one president, think of those two people with that message. It is the same message that Jesus had over 2,000 years ago. When Mark introduces us to Jesus, the Gospel of Mark starts with Jesus wandering around the areas of Capernaum and Galilee, but he's not just doing miracles. Mark doesn't want to introduce us to a miracle worker. He doesn't just want us to see Jesus as someone who casts out evil spirits or someone who is an amazing teacher. He wants us to see someone who is bringing hope to a place with very little hope, to people who have lost hope. He's saying to people as he walks around doing these things, saying these things, he's saying to people, yes, we can. So you look at Mark 1:23. A man with an evil spirit comes to him. Can we drive the evil spirit out, Jesus? His answer is, yes, we can. Simon's mother-in-law is in bed sick with a fever. He says, can we help her, Jesus? Jesus says, yes, we can. And people start bringing him demon-possessed people and the sick. And Jesus, can you heal my mother? Jesus, can you heal my friend? Can you drive out this evil spirit? Can you make me see? And Jesus says again and again to these people who are losing hope, yes, I can. Yes, I can. Yes, I can. You see, in that environment, people following Jesus, bringing him the sick and the demon-possessed, they are without hope. They are not just sick, they are dying. They're not just having a few medical issues, they're blind, they're lame, they're paralysed, they're deaf. They're resigned to a life of begging on the street, a life without friends, a life with very little purpose. And they come to Jesus when everyone else says, get away from me, unclean. And Jesus says, I can heal you. I can take away that problem. It may not be so obvious in a society like ours, but in a society like that, being sick or demon-possessed or is an outcast sort of position that you're in. You have no hope. And here is someone who is saying to every single person he meets, yes, we can. We can get rid of that evil spirit. We can heal you. We can make that happen. And they just touch his cloak and they walk away completely healed. Jesus is meeting people who all their life have been told, no, you have no hope. You will never walk, you will never see, you'll never get rid of that leprosy. You'll never be a part of society. And he's saying yes. Be healed, be free, be clean. Mark introduces us to Jesus, just straight into him just wandering the countryside, and just it's not like a pebble in the pond with a ripple effect. It's like this massive boulder that comes crashing down and empties the swimming pool of all the water. It's like, wow, bang, there he is with a message of hope to every single person. And so as we think about what this passage in Mark 2 is about, I want to just ask you a question to begin with. I want you to think about the biggest problem that you're facing in your life right now. Just think about that problem. It actually follows on nicely from the last couple of weeks as we think about prayer. Think about the issue you're facing. It may be a health issue, it may be a relationship, it may be financial, it may be work, it may be ministry, whatever it is. Just think of that. I'm not going to ask you to share it, but I want you to just remember that problem that you're facing. And I want you to imagine, has everyone got something? I got like 10 things, man. Maybe you've got 10. Maybe your problem is you've got too many problems. Is that a problem? I want you to imagine that problem gone. Solved. That problem you've been struggling with for however long is just gone. Imagine going to someone with that problem and asking them, can you fix it? And them saying, yes, I can. And it's gone. Now imagine the joy that you would feel if that problem was just taken away. Sometimes we're told again and again, no. Sometimes problems never seem to go away, and they never seem to be solved, and we never seem to have God saying to us the answer that we want to hear is, yes, problem solved, don't worry about it anymore. Sometimes all we hear is no. No, that problem's not going away. When we meet this man in Mark chapter 2, this paralytic, here is a man who has been told all his life, no. No, you will not be able to walk. No, you cannot be healed. You cannot be part of society. No. Until he meets Jesus. Turn with me to Mark chapter 2. I really like to have this in front of us. And on the sermon outline there, we're just up to the second point there, the healing of the paralytic. For those following along on mine, there it is. Just here. The story begins with Jesus being followed by this huge crowd of people. He's staying in a house. It might be Simon and Andrew's house where Simon's mother-in-law was healed in chapter 1, the first reading we had. But people just keep coming to him. And wouldn't you? If you heard about this guy just saying yes to everyone, healing all their problems, wouldn't you go? Even if it was days of travel away? And people just keep coming to him. This man saying, yes, I can. They're going to hear him talk. They're going to have people healed. They'll bring demon-possessed people, sick people to him. And so many people had crowded to see him. He was still at home. He hadn't even gone out for the day. He's still at home. And so many people had crowded in to see him that he couldn't even get near the house. And Jesus is preaching and telling them about the kingdom of God. And then a man arrives who is a paralytic. He can't walk. He's an outcast, probably assigned to beg for the rest of his life. And these four men have brought him to Jesus. Now, I don't know. Some people suspect that they were his friends. I'm guessing if you were a paralytic in those days, unless you were had a very wealthy family, you probably didn't have any friends. I mean, it could have been just four guys saw this paralytic and thought, let's take him to Jesus and see what happens. Anyway, they're there with this guy, and you can just sort of imagine the scene, can't you? They get close to the house, and the paralytic says, oh, look, there's so many men, there's so many people here, we can't get in. And the four men say, yes, we can. And they get closer to the house, and the house is full, and the paralytic says, well, maybe we could get up on the roof. Do you think we could get up on the roof? And the men tell him, yes, we can. And up they go on the roof, and the man sitting on top of the roof, and hearing all the words that Jesus is saying, do you think the paralytic says, do you think we can dig through the roof and maybe you could lower me through on the mat? And those four men say, what are you kidding? This is someone's house. But yes, we can. And they dig that hole, and they're digging that hole through this straw-thatched sort of roof, and Jesus is preaching underneath as straw starts to fall down on his head. Owner of the house, maybe it's Peter, Simon or someone, thinking that I just fixed that hole and now look at it. It's going to rain tonight, I bet. And this man is lowered down in the middle of this huge crowd in this tiny house right in front of Jesus on a stretcher. In verse 5, Mark writes this. When Jesus saw their faith. Jesus sees this man being lowered down and these four men on the roof, you know, probably waving at that stage. And Jesus saw what? He saw their faith. These men really believed that Jesus could heal the paralytic. I don't know if I would do that. Would you do that? Would you have the confidence, the trust, the faith in someone that you would get up on the roof with a paralyzed man on a stretcher and cut a hole in the roof and lower him down? Would you do that? Would you have that confidence? These men really have faith. It's a really bold thing they've done. Jesus saw that faith. They trusted him. They knew he could help this man. And Jesus does. What is the first thing he says to this man? Have a look at the words. Verse 5. Son, your sins are forgiven. And the paralytic's probably lying there thinking, well, thanks very much. But what about my legs? I can't walk. You know, the hole in the roof, all that stuff. It's just a surprise, isn't it? Here is Jesus who can do something for this guy, who can help him. He's lowered through the roof and he says, don't worry about it, I've got you covered. Your sins are forgiven. He can't walk. He has an obvious need. I don't know what that paralytic is thinking, but Mark actually draws our attention to some other people and what they're thinking and what Jesus knows they're thinking. There are some teachers of the law there. These are the guys who run the church. They know all the laws. They know everything that's right, everything that's wrong. They make sure that everyone knows when they step out of line. And what are they thinking? What does Jesus know they're thinking? They're thinking, who is this guy? Why does this fellow talk like that? I'm guessing they didn't use a kind word like fellow. He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? This is what Mark wants us to know, that in the middle of this crowd, there are people standing here thinking, what does he think he's doing? The paralyzed man's thinking, why won't you heal my legs? The teachers of the law are thinking, what do you think you're doing? You're blaspheming. No one can forgive sins but God alone. And that is the point Mark wants us to know when he writes this story. That is absolutely correct, that no one can heal sins but God alone. Jesus is saying, I am God. I have the authority to forgive sins. I have the authority of God because I am God. I have the authority over demons. You've seen that. You've seen me heal people. I have the authority over sickness. I teach with authority. You've seen that as well. And now I'm telling you, I have the authority to forgive sins because I am God. Verse 8, have a look at what they say. He knows what the teachers of the law are saying, are thinking. And it would have been quite frightening if you were them at this stage, because Jesus looks at them and says, why are you thinking these things? Have you ever had someone do that to you? You know, you're sitting there just thinking about life and someone comes up to you and says, why are you thinking about that? You'd be a bit embarrassed, I imagine, but these guys are caught out. Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man, a title Jesus uses of himself, that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he turns to the paralytic and said, I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home. And I always thought he should have added something like, and on your way out, fix that hole. Because these guys aren't too impressed. But no, he got up, took his mat and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone and they praised God saying, we have never seen anything like this. We have never seen anything like this. This is a take your breath away event. I know you might have heard this story 100 times when you're in Sunday school, and it doesn't sound very impressive. This is an impressive event. They are fully amazed and impressed by this man getting up and walking out. And so it's a big impact on them because Jesus is saying, I forgive his sins, but so you know I have that power, I'm going to show you what other power I have. Get up, take your mat and go home. And he gets up. And Jesus is saying, now you can see I can do that. I can make him walk. I want you to know that I can do the other thing too. I can forgive sins. Because I'm God. This is what Mark wants to introduce Jesus to us as. Who he wants to introduce Jesus as. God. There's no other answer. Who is Jesus? He's God. He's God on earth. He's God in the flesh. He has the authority of God. He has the power of God. He does the work of God because he is God. And there is no one else that can do that except God. No one has the authority. God doesn't give authority. God doesn't just let anyone just forgive sins and take them away completely and pay for them. Only God can do that. There's two things this story teaches us. And the first is what it teaches us about Jesus. It teaches us very simply that he's God. He's God on earth. He's God in the flesh. He has the authority over sickness, over evil spirits, the authority to teach. He has the authority to forgive sins. What does it teach us about ourselves, though? That would be enough to take away today, but let me just encourage you to think about how that affects you. What does it teach you about you? So I want you to just think back to that problem that you're facing. Think about that problem again. And let me ask you the question, after hearing that story, who do you think has authority over that problem in your life? Who has the authority over that sickness, the authority over that relationship? Who has the authority over that financial issue? Who has the authority over that problem that you're facing? Hopefully you'll be encouraged tonight to know that it is Jesus, your King, who has authority over that problem you have. He has the authority to solve it or to leave it be. The good news that we know about Jesus is that when he chooses not to take our problem away, he chooses to stand with us every day facing that problem. And he refuses to move. So that's the first thing we know. Jesus has authority, and sometimes he chooses not to answer our prayers the way we want, but he always chooses to stand beside us with that problem, to face it every single day. The thing that Mark really wants us to take away from this story, though, as he writes it down and records it, the thing he really wants us to know, that no matter what problem you have, no matter how big it is, no matter how long you've had it for, no matter how much you want it to go away and it doesn't seem to, no matter how much you think God might not care about that, God wants you to know one thing that is much more important than any problem you're facing. And that is, the biggest problem in your life is sin. Again, that's a really simple thing to know, but to appreciate that means to appreciate how much joy there is in knowing that Jesus' guarantee is that when you come to him for forgiveness, he gives it. You can come to him for healing and he may not heal you. You come to him in poverty and he may not make you rich. But you come to him for forgiveness and he guarantees to forgive. He guarantees you to remove your sins from you as far as the east is from the west, which is a fairly long way. He guarantees your forgiveness. He guarantees, in other words, to deal with the biggest problem you have. You see, that is big news, because your forgiveness, why is your forgiveness better than any solution of any other problem in your life? Because your forgiveness is your salvation. It's as simple as that. Your forgiveness is your salvation. And we must never forget that. Forget the joy that we have in knowing that being a disciple of Jesus means that we are forgiven people. It means that we have salvation guaranteed with him. That no matter what problem we face in life, and no matter what problems we have to endure in life, sin is not one of those problems, because it is removed. Yes, we sin. We struggle with sin. We go through sin every day. And you know, God guarantees to remove it every day when we come to him. Your forgiveness is guaranteed by him when you come to him. And that means your salvation is guaranteed. I really think this is Mark's way of helping us to put our problems in life into perspective. Because the biggest problem, the forgiveness of our sins, which stops us being in a relationship with God if they're not forgiven, that's guaranteed. And that's the only problem we have that's eternal. if our sins are not forgiven, we are eternally facing condemnation. If our sins are forgiven, every other problem will fade away and we'll have a relationship with God forever in heaven. I know it sounds fairly simplistic to think of, but really, when that man is lowered from the roof and Jesus looks at him, he just tells him straight up, buddy, your problem is not that you can't walk, your problem is that you're a sinful person and you need to be forgiven. And once that happens, nothing else matters because you're forgiven. When you wake up in the morning, you'll be a forgiven person, whether you're a paralytic or not, whether you're sick or not, whether you have relationship issues or not, whether you have financial problems or not, you're forgiven when you wake up because you're in Jesus. That's all that matters, because that is your salvation. Let me encourage you, when you come to Jesus, whether it's in prayer or just putting yourself before him in whatever way you do each day, that you come before him, ask for, receive, and thank him for the forgiveness he guarantees you, because it is your salvation. Put that in perspective. It's not easy to say, but God does care about those other problems in your life. He cares deeply about them. But know how much he loves you, that Jesus died on the cross, was resurrected to deal with your sin. That's the one thing he really cared about, above everything else. And the one thing that he guarantees us. Let's pray. I want to encourage you to pray with me and just to come before Jesus and find again, if you've lost it, the joy of knowing that you are forgiven people. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Mark's gospel and for introducing us, the way he introduces us to Jesus. And Father, we think of those problems in our life and we know you care about us so deeply. You care about all of the problems we face. But we thank you, God, that above all, you care about our sinful nature so much that you're prepared to deal with that. You can guarantee us forgiveness, guarantee us eternal life. Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful, and it's easy to lose sight of that perspective. But help us to remember, no matter what problems we're facing in our life today, that when we wake up tomorrow, we can give you great thanks because we are forgiven people. So we do bring those other problems to you now, that you would answer our prayers as is best for us, in the way that you know is best for us, to help us to face those problems that don't go away. But most of all, Lord, we just continue to bring before you our great thanks for the forgiveness you've given us in Jesus. Amen.